talking to me?
Funny like I'm a clown, I use you.
Here's Johnny.
He's looking at you, kid.
We're on a mission from God.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Good morning. Today is February 20th. And this is the Weird Movie Geeks Podcast. I'm Tom Stockman.
Jim Batts.
Lynn Venhouse.
Lynn Venhouse has joined us this morning. Lynn reviews for the Belleville News Democrat and the Kirkwood Webster Times. And she hasn't been with us in a while. You've been sick, right?
Yes, I have.
What'd you have, rickets or something?
Shingles.
Shingles. Okay, I knew this would be either rickets or shingles or... Yeah, scurvy yeah. or one of those diseases.
Yeah, but you still got the Y98 gig, too, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
Let's see. We got a lot to talk about this morning because, you know, we always do.
Not as much as last week.
No, we don't have as many movies to review. Week, but we've got the Oscars, which is less than a week away, so we're going to talk about our predictions.
Oscar,
we do this every year at the Weird Movie Geeks Podcast. We've been doing this, what, about 15 years now?
Yeah, since the late 20s when the Oscars started.
Yeah. All right, let's go over the top 10 at the box office. Top 12, I guess we could do. Now, Rings was number 12. It made 2.2. I saw that. That was pretty good. Did you see that, Lynn?
No, I did not.
Yeah. Lion was in number 11. Lion's showing in a lot of theaters. That made 4.1. Kerfer Wellness debuted at number 10. That's not doing very well. I think the 2.5 hour running time is a real turnoff for people, which is too bad because it's not a bad horror film. It's well marketed. I just think it should have been shorter and people would have gone out and seen it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you did see it, Tom. You said, right? Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, so with me, yeah, so it's like five different endings.
Niche marketing.
Number 9 was La La Land, made $4.5 million. Number 8 was Dog's Purpose. Did you see that one?
No, I did not. Did you?
It's really cute. I saw it twice. It's really good. Split, still hanging in there. It's doing really well. Made $7 million. Hidden Figures. It's the only Oscar-nominated Best Picture I still haven't seen. I've watched the first 15 minutes of it, and I can't.
It's a crowd.
I've got to see it this week, though, because the Oscars are next Sunday.
That's right.
That made 7.1, which was good for sixth place. Fist Fight, which Jim's going to review here in a minute.
Yeah.
And Jim reviewed it at WeAreMovieGeeks.com. debuted in number 5 with $12 million.
Yeah.
John Wick Chapter 2 was number 4 with $16.5 million. The Great Wall with Matt Damon made $18 million for number 3. 50 Shades Darker. Did you see that, Lynn?
I avoided it.
You avoided it? Oh, come on. I avoided it, too.
Yes. I suffered through it for all of us.
Jim got to see it. That made $20.9 million. And the Lego Batman movie retained its number one spot for at least the second week in a row and is kicking butt with $34.2 million.
So, now, I highly enjoyed that one. I loved it.
I predict it'll be in number one again next weekend, so I think it'll have at least
probably
one more
week. I don't know what else is going to knock it off.
Well, something will knock it off a week from this Friday, which I've seen already.
Logan,
which, you know, we can, I guess we'll have to wait till next week to talk about, but I have seen it.
I didn't realize there was a screening of Logan.
I should have reminded you.
Was it an evening screening?
It was an evening screening. I'm sorry. I should have reminded you.
That's okay. My evenings have been kind of messed up lately.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Lego Batman is fun for the whole family.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And people are seeing it again and again.
Yes, yeah. I want to see it again because there's so much to it.
Yeah. All right, speaking of so much to it, Jim saw Fist Fight.
911, what's your emergency?
There's a crazy guy at my high school. He's trying to beat me up.
If you have a problem with a bully, I need you to speak to a teacher.
No, I am a teacher.
Excuse me?
It's actually another teacher...
Who wants to have a fist fight?
...with me after school, so I need help.
You reviewed it for WeirdMovieGeeks.com. How many stars did you
give? I think I gave it 3.5, really? I believe. I guess I was in the minority on it.
I saw the first 15 minutes, so I guess it must have got a lot better.
Yeah, well, it got a lot. It didn't quite match up. The middle part doesn't match up to the first 15, 20 minutes, but it's got a really strong finale.
Okay.
But I think you probably know what it's about from the trailers, but I'll summarize it quickly there. It's Charlie Day is this nice guy. He's having a heck of a day. It's the last day of school. the seniors are pranking everyone, and he's all concerned because they're making all these cuts at the school, and he thinks he's going to lose his job, and he's concerned because his wife is about to give birth any second now, and he's got to rush off at 2:30 to be part of a talent show with his preteen daughter. So he's trying to make it through the day, and he's trying to avoid Mr. Strickland, the history teacher, who is played by Ice Cube, who's just surly and glowering at everybody. You saw enough to see his introduction into the film.
And he's introduced carrying a baseball bat.
Yeah, yelling it. And you saw the coffee thing there. He's having a problem with the coffee machine in the teacher's lounge. The students and the teachers are fearful of him. And Charlie Day's character, Andy, is walking down the hall, and Strickland hollers at him and says, "I'm having trouble with the AV system. Come in and help me out." And they've got a VCR, and he's trying to watch a knockoff of Ken Burns' Civil War, and one of the kids is messing up the AV equipment. And when Strickland finds out, he flips out, and it involves an axe and one of the desks. And they're later both called into the principal's office. And before going in, Strickland winks at Andy and says, "We teachers stick together." And the principal says, "Well, if you're not going to tell me what happened, I'm going to fire both of you." And Andy says, "He did it." Immediately, which then causes Strickland to say, "At 3 o'clock, we're going to meet in the parking lot and we're going to have a fist fight." The rest of the film is him juggling all this stuff while trying.
Sounds like 3 o'clock high.
Exactly. That was what I compared it to.
Oh, yeah.
Except that was about students and this is about teachers. And I think 3 o'clock high is a better film.
Oh, I love 3 o'clock.
Yeah. It's very entertaining. Kind of a cult film. I guess it's 30 years old now.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm in the minority. I saw that it's only at about 37 or something like that at the Rotten Tomatoes. But I think it depends on how you feel about the two actors. I think even though Ice Cube's playing an unlikable character, a fearsome character, he's still pretty funny in it. And I think Charlie Day is a great manic, energetic guy. He's got a nice energy that reminds me a little bit, and this may be sacrilege, but he's like a worthy successor to the late Gene Wilder in that he gets...
Oh, come on, Jim!
I know, blasphemy! But he's so funny when he's exasperated and when he's desperate.
He's hilarious. He makes me laugh every time I see him on screen. He just has that persona.
Well, that you hear that voice go higher and higher pitched as he's getting more desperate and making up lies and getting caught at the lies. Yeah. He's very funny in it. Jillian Bell is very funny.
Yeah, she's funny. She has a monologue about being a meth addict.
I quoted the dialogue there. And she says to Andy, says, "Well, meth's kind of a gateway drug." And Andy says, "No, I think it's kind of the finish line." Yeah. There's some
and
clever
he goes, "Don't do meth, period." And she goes, "Okay, I won't do it when I'm on my period."
She's a scene stealer. She's great. I'm looking forward to that supposed reboot she's going to do of Splash. She's great. Tracy.
She's starring in a reboot of Splash.
Yeah, she's going to be the Tom Hanks character. Oh, okay. Channing Tatum is going to be the mermaid. But Tracy Morgan's very entertaining in it. He's the losingest coach in high school in this film. I didn't see much of him. What really saddens me is Christina Hendricks. Much like Bad Santa 2, she's just kind of wasted in this film. I don't know if Hollywood quite knows what to do with her in the movies because she was so fabulous in Mad Men. But yeah, if you'd have stuck around, tell me you'd have seen her as the French teacher, and you think, oh, she's going to be the sexy bombshell that everyone's lusting after. I said, no. Andy gets on her bad side, and she goes to Strickland and says, "You know, it's not enough to have a fist fight. Here, take this knife." And she's got one of those fancy switchblades. She says, "You need to cut him from the forehead to the chin and gut him like a fish." Mm. And I was like, "Oh my gosh!"
Oh,
and so even Strickland is kind of a nerve buyer. And as young actress Joanna Garcia Switcher plays Andy's wife, and she's the stereotypical woman on the phone most of the time with Andy. And you know that it's going to end with some big rush to the hospital. Of course, it does. But like I say, it's not for everybody. There's too many F-bombs. They really are wanting to get that R rating. There's too many genitalia jokes. But the jokes that do land are funny. Charlie Day as Andy is very entertaining. I think he this is like maybe his first sort of leading man type of role.
Yeah.
He's done supporting stuff in the Horrible Bosses movie, but I think he's a guy to watch out for in movies. And I think he and Ice Cube make an interesting team. And the big fight at the end is pretty great. And I was able to reference one of my favorite kids movies in the review of The Adventures of Bullwhip Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
It reminded be a little bit of that.
What year was that?
Like 65, 66. Yep,
you know, that may have been the first movie I ever saw at the theater.
Really?
I just recall seeing it on The Wonderful World of Disney.
I saw it at the theater when I was just a toddler.
Yeah, there's a big fight at the end between Roddy McDowell and Mike Mazurki. Okay. And it's very entertaining, very cartoony. This one is not as cartoony, but it's just as inventive. And I just say, if you're looking for some laughs, I think you could do a whole lot worse comedy-wise.
So Jim really liked Fist Fight. Lynn hasn't seen it. I only saw the first 15 minutes because when it was over, actually, after 15 minutes, I just wasn't in the mood. I went into a different theater and I saw Sleepless. I'll do a quick review of Sleepless. Sleepless actually opened about 3 weeks ago.
The city is crawling with dirty cops.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nevada's finest.
Looking for this?
This is Downs Homicide.
Jennifer Bryant. We're internal affairs.
Big bad policewoman. I like that.
Well, after stopping off at the box office, of course, to pay for
that. Yeah. It was originally called One Sleepless Night, and they changed it to Sleepless. It's a it's a cop thriller. I think it's a remake of a French film. It stars Jamie Foxx as this cop in Las Vegas, and it all takes place in one night, which is kind of cool. And he's a corrupt cop, and somehow he ends up with 25 kilos of cocaine. So everybody's looking for this cocaine, and his son gets kidnapped by these drug dealers who are trying to get this cocaine from him, and they take him, they hold him hostage in this casino. So Jamie Foxx goes into this casino and tries to hide this cocaine, but there's this DEA agent played by Michelle Monaghan and her partner, shucks.
Well, it's a working casino, though, right? I mean, it's not an abandoned casino.
No. This all takes place in the casino.
Oh, my.
And like I said, it all takes place in one night. And, the kid gets kidnapped, and then he gives him the drugs, so they let the kid go. But it turns out he's substituted sugar for the drugs. So they kidnap the kid again, and then they let him go again. It's kind of ridiculous. But it is sort of fast-paced, and it's violent. And if you like Jamie Foxx and you want to see him in this kind of movie where he's getting into fistfights and he's shooting people and he's getting shot and he's in a car chase and this kind of thing, I think he could do a lot worse than this movie. It does look like something you'd see at Redbox and you'd say, oh, Jamie Foxx, I kind of like him. I think I'll rent it. I think if you're renting it at Redbox, you'd be pretty happy with it. I think if you pay $12 and saw it at the theater, you might not be quite as happy because it's really cheesy and there's a gazillion plot holes in the thing. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You've got Dermot Mulroney as the guy who runs the casino, and he's the secondary villain, but the primary villain is played by Scoot McNairy.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and he's this tough guy, but his character didn't make a whole lot of sense because he looks like, it's kind of meth head. All the other gangsters are wearing suits and are all perfectly groomed, and he's this guy with bad teeth and, this vulgar guy. So it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense that everybody's so scared of Scoot McNairy. But I kind of like this movie. It's 90 minutes. It moves like lightning. It is cheesy.
Not as good as Jamie's last big action film. I guess it would have been White House Down.
I enjoyed that.
Oh, that was great.
I enjoyed that.
That was kind of a parody of an action film.
Yeah, and that probably cost $100 million to make, and this probably cost $12 million to make.
And nice Vegas locations, though?
I doubt it was filmed in Vegas. They keep cutting to these exteriors of Vegas, and then they'll go back into the casino. I'll bet the casino stuff was filmed in Canada or something.
Georgia.
I'll just bet you anything it was.
Yeah.
It kind of has that feel about it. But I don't know. If I had reviewed it for WeirdMovieGeeks.com, I would probably give it, 2.5 stars. It's not the worst thing in the world. All right, let's move on. We all saw The Great Wall. I reviewed The Great Wall over at WeirdMovieGeeks.com.
The Great Wall is the only barrier keeping the world safe.
I gave it 4 out of 5 stars.
You generous man.
Oh, I loved it, The Great Wall. Actually, I saw it again. I saw it again last night. I took Sarah to see it. We saw it at the IMAX 3D over at the Chesterfield, which is far superior than the IMAX 3D at Ronnie's. This is from director Yamu Zhang, who is a very popular director in China. He did Hero and The House of the Flying Daggers. And
he did that remake of Blood Simple.
A woman,
a gun, and a noodle shop.
I remember seeing that. I think I reviewed that even. Yeah. But when we saw previews for this thing, it didn't really show these monsters. I thought it was going to be like a historical epic about the Great Wall and maybe about the making of the Great Wall and why the Great Wall was made. I really didn't know it was a monster movie until I think I saw a second trailer that showed a little more of the monster stuff. But it's not. It's just this goofy sort of B monster movie that cost $150 million to make. It's the most expensive movie made in China. And it is visually the most stunning film I've seen in quite a while. It stars Matt Damon, and he plays, I don't know, what was he, British or
Irish? Maybe, or I don't know. His accent goes way midway, but he abandons it.
But he goes to the wall because he's looking for gunpowder with his partner, who's played by one of these Game of Thrones guys. I don't know who that guy was.
Pedro Pascal.
Okay. Yes. And it turns out that the wall has been constructed to keep out the Taisei. The Taisei are an army, and when I say army, I'm not exaggerating. It's an army of these critters, these sort of horse-sized lizard dog critters with lots of teeth that come down
piranhas
every 60 years out of this mountain. And there must be 500,000 of these things. I'm not sure why they needed to have so many of these things. The first time you see this army, this swarm of these things, it's kind of impressive. But then, they could have probably done just as well with a couple of dozen dragons or something. I don't know. But that's okay. I kind of liked the monsters. In my review, I said I thought the creature design was a little underwhelming. I think I appreciated the creature design a little more when I saw it the second time. It's got some amazing action sequences, and I think this is the best and most creative use of 3D I have seen since Life of Pi. This director, Yamu Zhang, really has fun with the 3D. Not only are there battle axes and arrows being thrown at the camera, there are two sequences I want to talk about that are just breathtaking. One involves this division of this army that's on top of the wall, and they're battling these dragon monsters. And this one division, they get in these metal hoops that are tied to these bungee cords, and they dive off the wall with these spears to battle the monsters below. And that looks so cool in 3D. But then the best part is at the end when they get into this fleet of hot air balloons. And I tell you what, that thing just visually, that sequence, especially when I saw it at the IMAX, just blew me away. It just felt like you could reach out and touch these hot air balloons, and half of them are burning up because of this gunpowder that's in the air. Really great action sequences, and just and this director's known for his visuals. It does have a little, some of the dialogue's a bit clunky. William Dafoe shows up as a Brit who'd been captured 25 years earlier, and I didn't really understand quite what his character's purpose was. I really disliked the way they dispatched him. But this is a great action film, very exciting. And we also got to talk about the length of this film. I loved it. I saw what was it, Cure for Wellness, over the weekend, and there's an example of a director so in love with his own vision he doesn't know when to wrap his movie up. Great Wall is just kind of the opposite. It's just perfectly paced. At the 95 minute mark, the credits start to roll. And this guy, he spent $150 million. I thought it was going to be the kind of bloated epic that was going to go over 2 hours, but it wasn't. This guy, it comes to a really satisfying conclusion, and then it's over. And then I just wanted to cheer because this movie came in at 95 minutes. So good for them. This is an excellent action film. You guys didn't like it as much as me, though.
Oh, it didn't feel like 95 minutes to me. I was looking at my watch, and I was like, oh, I thought that was 2.5 hours, if anything. Oh, it just went on and on and on.
I think the script is really clumsy. And
but you don't go to a movie about an army of monsters for the script.
Well, that helps. It can't just be all visuals. There has to be some.
Some of the script was pretty funny. Actually, I thought some of the lines were pretty funny. The way that the Chinese were kind of always a step ahead of Matt Damon.
Yeah, well, I think the big problem is Matt Damon, because I think it's a rare misstep for him, and they try to make Pedro Pascal and him like the Butch and Sundance, and it just doesn't work. But the monosyllabic dialogue, it just drove me nuts. And I know that's for an international audience. But to me, it was just really ordinary and pedestrian. And I will give it the cinematography. I will give it that.
The costume design.
The costume was amazing. And the colors, the bold use of color.
Damon is playing a less interesting version of Hawkeye from the Avengers.
I loved it. And it cost $150 million, and every penny is up there on the screen. This is just a visual feast.
Oh, and it is just a dull, thudding, empty-headed, excruciating.
You guys are out of line. So, anyway, let's move on. I love The Great Wall, and I don't know what movie Jim and Lynn saw.
Oh, we saw. You were in some sort of bubble seeing something far
I was happy in my bubble. Yes. One more movie to review, and that is Rock Dog. I saw Rock Dog over the weekend. Rock Dog is a new animated film. It's from China. It's from China Studio. Those American actors doing the voices in it.
Loud. I like tight.
Dad, I've decided to become a musician.
You're not going
to
be a musician, Bodie. You're going to be a guard. Get used to it.
And it's about this dog. It's really stupid. I was, you know, I didn't know who did the voices when the movie started, because I didn't look at the poster or anything. So I was trying to guess who these voices were throughout the whole thing. So it's narrated by Sam Elliott. Like, Sam Elliott doesn't narrate enough stuff. And it starts in Tibet, and there's this family of dogs living in Tibet, and the main dog is named Bodhi, and this radio somehow falls from the sky. I can't remember why the radio falls from the sky, but the radio, he's never heard music before, so he turns on the radio and he hears this horrible rock and roll song. In fact, I think the name of the song was Rock and Roll. And he decides that he wants to be a rock and roll guitarist. And his father doesn't want. He wants him to stay in Tibet and become sort of some sort of dog priest. Now, the voice of Bodhi, I was trying to figure it out. I go, that's obviously Owen Wilson. And I go, I thought, he's kind of laid back for Owen Wilson. And it turns out it was Luke Wilson. And the father, I knew for sure that was John Goodman voicing the father. Turns out it was J.K. Simmons. I don't know what the heck is going on. So anyways, Bodhi goes to the United States because he's looking for this legendary guitarist named Angus. And he's British and he lives in the U.S. And I thought for sure he was voiced by Russell Brand, but it turns out he was voiced by Eddie Izzard, because, you know, kids just love Eddie Izzard.
He's Voldemort in the Lego Batman.
Is he? Okay. And I don't know what happens after that. I wasn't paying too much attention. I'm trying to think what happens there. He becomes some sort of rock star dog. This is a really terrible animated film. It's poorly written, and it looks terrible. You know, you can't get away with this sort of subpar animation anymore. There's all these animals. It's kind of like Zootopia. And then when it gets to America, there's dogs and cats and wolves and pigs and bears and stuff. And they're all talking and stuff. And their heads are shaped differently. But their eyes and their nose and their mouths are all exactly the same. It's almost like you've ever seen like a documentary on Pixar where they talk about the different passes. And first, here's the shapes. And then the second pass, we've added the shadows. Then we add the color. Then we add the textures. It seems like it's a couple steps from being fully rendered. There's no detail or texture to these characters. Yeah. It's really cheap, and it's poorly written, and the voice work isn't particularly interesting. I will say it only lasts 80 minutes, which is good. And then there's all this stuff with guitar culture, all these references to famous guitar players and famous guitars, and it's almost like they hired some sort of guitar expert to contribute with the script to some sort of consultant. But, you know, the 5-year-olds that might like this movie aren't really going to care about all that stuff. It's really bad. This is really a February dump animated film, one of the worst I've seen, and I'm going to give it maybe 1 star, and that would be generous.
Yeah, I saw the trailer with Moana, and I just was aghast. I was like, this just looks awful.
Yeah.
I'm surprised this is not premiering at Redbox.
Yeah.
Really.
I just want to make some money with it, I guess.
Yeah, and it's too bad because the American director, I guess, sort of spearheaded the work on it. Is one of the co-directors of Toy Story 2.
That's right,
too.
Toy Story 2, that's
Surf's
right.
Up.
And he did something else. Yeah, Surf's Up, that's right. And those are good movies, but those were well-written movies.
Those were a dump from the foreign shores.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's move on. Rock Dog, I don't recommend. And that's it for reviews. What are we seeing this week?
Oh, well, I'm going to see tomorrow night Get Out.
Oh, I'm seeing that too.
Yeah, it's the horror film. I guess it's a horror film.
It
kind of looks like Stepford Wives meets Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, maybe something like
maybe.
That.
Maybe.
Yeah, and Allison Williams from Girls is in it, and it's got an interesting cast. So I got high hopes for it.
And it's from Peele, right? Key and Peele.
Yeah. And I know that they're also having a screening of United Kingdom. Have you seen that already?
Yes. Then? No, I haven't, and I would like to because it's based on a true story. David Ayala. Hello, and Rosamund Pike are.
I haven't seen her since Gone Girl, have I?
I know, and it's based on a true story in Zimbabwe, the leader, and it's an interracial couple.
Yeah, and well, what's the conflict? I mean, he's the king. He's the king of Botswana.
Prince of Botswana. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
But they're a British. British. They're under British rule, and they don't like them being an interracial couple, and they pretty much kind of cast them out.
Kind of a low royalty 1940s version of loving. Yeah,
yes, exactly. Yes. All right.
So you seeing that tomorrow night?
I'm going to the O'Fallon City Council meeting.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, give us a review of the O'Fallon City Council meeting.
Yes, sure.
So I guess, I don't know if anybody's going to be, well, maybe Kate will see it.
I think Kate has seen it already, actually.
Oh, okay. Is she?
So, yes, I believe so. Yeah,
because Jim and I are seeing Get Out. What else are we seeing this weekend?
That's it, as far as I know. Yeah. We're hoping we get to see Kong sometime soon. We got Beauty and the Beast looming on the horizon very, very shortly. So.
Yes, and Red Turtle opens on Friday instead of last week.
Yeah, we found that out. Okay. That I guess the word went out during our podcast last week that they bumped it a week. So.
I had a movie-going milestone over the weekend, by the way. I went to the Regal Cinemas and the... senior discount right there is age 55. At Wehrenberg, it's 60. Oh. So I got my first senior discount ever in my life.
Really?
That's good. I asked them if they need to see an ID when I do buy one, and they tell me no.
I insisted on showing my ID.
Oh, yeah. So, well, I remember when I was a kid, you know, there was you could get in a special price for being under 15 or 14 or something like that, and I'd always have to show some bit of ID because they always thought I was older. I thought it was frustrating.
Well, they still have that. They still have the kids.
Yeah.
It's 12. It's 12. So, and I always tell, when I always take my 13-year-old, I go, you're 12.
So the Lincoln Theater in Belleville is 55, just 55. FYI.
I've never been to the Lincoln Theater in Belleville.
So there are advantages to hanging around as long as we do.
Advantages of getting old. All right, let's talk about some local stuff. Yeah. I'll be hosting a screening of Animal House this Saturday at midnight at the High Point. The High Point's trying to start a new midnight series.
One of the funniest movies ever made. Next to Airplane, my favorite funny film.
Yeah. I remember when it came out in 78. It was just kind of blew everyone away. It came out of nowhere, it seemed like. And certainly Universal wasn't expecting it to be a big hit. They were about to write it off. So there you go.
And look how many people are in that.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. And then actually, the Tivoli starts their midnight schedule at the end of March. They're going to start with... Rocky Horror Picture Show last weekend in March. But then the first one after that, I happen to know. I don't know the lineup, but I do know what the first one is, and that's The Drunken Master. Which is a Jackie Chan movie. And Jackie Chan's getting an Oscar. Actually, they gave Jackie Chan an honorary Oscar at one of those
They do that now.
But then they usually show highlights of that at the Oscar ceremonies, and they gave Jackie Chan an honorary Oscar. And this is one of Jackie Chan's very best films. I saw it at Webster U a few years ago, and he plays this guy who drinks wine, and then when he drinks wine, he has these super duper martial arts skills. It's really entertaining, and the guy just does some amazing stuff. So what else? This week in Newtown, is it Webster? There was a school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, I think around 2010, and there's this new documentary called...
2012. Mid-December.
There's a new documentary called Newtown, and that will be playing at Webster University this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 7:30. Last weekend, I went to the Moolah, and what did I see? Oh, I saw My Bloody Valentine. That was a lot of fun. Andy didn't know what he was going to show next month, but then I looked at the Facebook page over the weekend.
And it's Dead and Buried.
Yes. I like the movie Dead and Buried. The first time I saw Dead and Buried was on HBO, but then I ended up seeing it at the drive-in a couple of times.
Is Jack Albertson in
Jack Albertson?
Is James
Farentino is the star. And Lisa Blount is the female lead. Yeah. And I was just watching Prince of Darkness, John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness with Lisa Blount. Like, I haven't seen her in a movie in a while, so I looked her up on IMDb. Turns out she died in 2010.
Oh, my goodness.
She was in Officer and a Gentleman. She was David Keith's fiancé.
Yeah, my goodness.
I don't know. I guess she had cancer or something. So that's Dead and Buried, and that'll be March, I think, 10th and 11th.
Yeah, it's got the woman from the Flash Gordon film from 1980. I can't recall her name, but I think she's...
Ornella Muti?
No, not her. Oh. Dale Arden from that film. Good girl.
Okay. And then let's see. The Q Fest announced their lineup. Did you see that?
No, we didn't see that.
The Q Fest. Q stands for queer. It's our annual Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, the Cinema St. Louis does. I think this is their 10th annual one, so good for those guys. Chris Clark always does a good job programming and curating this film festival. They've moved it to the Dot Zack. I've never seen a movie, the Dot Zack. You have, though.
I have seen films, and it's an intimate venue, that's for sure.
I have seen a play there.
Seen a play there, all right. Where is it? I don't even know where the Dot Zack is.
It's on Locust. It's right down the road from the fountain here.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's about two or three blocks away.
They need to change the name of that venue.
It's owned, the Kranzbergs named it after their grandson, and they decided to put a period before it.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Well, good for them. All right, but he's showing a couple of retro films. He's showing William Friedkin's Boys in the Band. Usually they don't show retro films. Usually they just show new gay and lesbian themed films. But they're showing two, which I've never seen, The Boys in the Band. It was made in 1970, which would have been the year before he won the Oscar for French Connection.
Yeah. It was quite a groundbreaking film back in the day.
Yeah, it's based on a play, I assume.
Yes.
And I looked at the cast, and I don't recognize any of these actors except Lawrence Luckinbill, who I think has been married to Lucy Arnaz for many, many decades.
He has.
He's the only name I even recognize. So I suspect maybe they pulled the Broadway cast in for this film.
Yeah.
And then they're showing something called Desert Hearts, which was a very very famous lesbian romance from the 80s, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
It played at the High Point for a long time. Yeah. So you can go to cinemastlouis.org.
Is Helen Shaver in there?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
All right. And Cinema St. Louis will be hosting the Oscars at the Dot Zack also next Sunday. But that's not the best Oscars party in town.
Far from
it. No way, baby. They're charging $55 to get in the door. Ah. I'll be hosting the Oscars at the Tivoli, and I will be charging $0 to get in the door. Of course, that includes a drink and some snacks. But, you know, the concession stand at the Tivoli will be open. They serve beer and wine and all kinds of food. The doors open at 6 o'clock. The Tivoli, of course, at 6350 Del Mar. And I'll be hosting the Oscars. This is the third year in a row I've done this. It's a lot of fun. I've already got the guys at Allied promised me boxes and boxes of swag and T-shirts, and I've got a big stack of DVDs and Blu-rays. So during the commercials, we turn the volume off, and I get up there, and I do lots of Oscar movie trivia in general, and it's a lot of fun. So.
Oh, yes. It's a blast.
It is a blast. So go out to the Tivoli this Sunday night and join me for the Oscars.
I think last year I won something, too.
I think everybody won something. I may have so much stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
at the end of it, you say, just come up and get what's left, please. I don't want to take it away.
All right, we're going to talk about the Oscars. Anything else anybody wants to talk about? Anybody die? Oh, you know, George the Animal Steel died.
Oh, yes, yes.
He was a wrestler, of course, but he did have one great movie role.
A fabulous role.
Yeah, he was Tor Johnson in Tim Burton's Ed Wood, and he had that great line where Johnny Depp says, "I'm a movie director," and he goes, "Movies, you mean like Mickey Mouse?"
Yeah. Yes.
So R.I.P. to George Animal.
Yeah, there's a great deleted scene on the DVD of him, you know, busting a toilet seat. It's so funny.
He was
perfect. Why isn't that in the movie?
Yeah, he was like 60 when they cast him as Tor Johnson, but he was perfect.
He was perfect. Yeah. And I saw online before we got here this morning that a great film historian and critic, Richard Schickel, had passed away over the weekend.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Time Magazine.
Yes.
And he did some commentaries.
Yes, he did some terrific books. I know he did one about Lucas. Film. He
did one about Clint Eastwood, didn't
he? I believe so. Yeah. So quite a great film historian. Yeah,
he was part of a PBS series called The Men Who Made the Movies.
Oh, that's a fabulous series. Yeah,
that's why I discovered a lot of directors. That was back in the early
70s. Yes. I have the book
Hitchcock
of that.
And Henry Hathaway. It's just a fabulous thing.
Yeah, Raoul Walsh and King Vidor and directors I was totally unfamiliar with. I learned about from that show.
I'd
like to get those on DVD or something.
Yeah, or they should be streaming, too.
It might be on YouTube or something.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, so RIP to those guys. Let's talk more about the Oscars. Let's predict. This is fun. We did this last year and the year before. All right, we're going to go through the categories, and we're going to decide what we think is going to win. All right, let's start with visual effects. Deepwater Horizon, Doctor Strange, Jungle Book, Kubo and the Two Strings, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Well, I'm not sure why Kubo was in there.
Yeah, well, it's some great effects.
Yeah, it is, but it's just stop motion animation. I think Jungle Book is going to win.
I do agree with you. I believe it will be.
What do you think, Lynn? Best visual effects. Do you want me to read those again?
No, I was thinking Rogue One.
I think Rogue One will...
I don't know.
Jungle Book has more unique effects. Rogue One's just kind of the same old space effects.
I do too. Hey, I don't argue with Jungle Book because I thought that was fabulous.
But here with Rogue One, they recreated a late actor, a couple of late actors.
That's true. So that's I didn't think that was done particularly well. Recreating Peter Cushing.
Well, if the voice had been better, that would
Remember remember when we saw that documentary about King Kong, and there was that great line where they say,
oh, yeah.
Stop motion looks fake but seems real, or CGI looks real but seems fake. That thing with Peter Cushing is perfectly illustrative of that sentiment. Let's move on. Sound mixing. Arrival. Oh, who cares about sound? Oh, well, let's go for it. Arrival, Hacksaw Ridge, La La Land, Rogue One. And 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. I like that movie. I kind of forgot about that movie.
I did too.
I think Hacksaw Ridge is a shoe-in for sound mixing. I think we're going to see a Hacksaw Ridge sweep song.
Oh, I think on this planet, Tom, we're going to see La La Land sweep.
La La Land's not going to win sound mixing.
I believe it will, yes. Right. That will be my choice.
What do you think there, Lynn?
It might be Arrival.
All right.
Could be.
Might be right. All right, let's move on because nobody cares about sound. Why do they have sound editing and sound mixing? Actually, I know why, but it seems, you know, for the layman out there, it seems a little silly. Sound editing, Arrival, Deepwater Horizon, Hacksaw Ridge, La La Land, Sully. I'm going to go with Hacksaw Ridge. What do you think, Jim?
I'm going still with La La Land.
Okay, what do you think, Lynn?
And I'm going with Arrival.
Okay, well, we're not on the same page on any of this stuff. How about live action short film? Who cares? I've never seen any of these. I
haven't seen all of them, any of them.
Okay, well, who cares then? Animated short film.
I think it will probably be Piper, which I think they played before Finding Dory, which
yes,
is
it's
charming.
A Pixar, yes.
Yeah, it's the only one I've
Piper.
Seen.
Piper, what happened then? I can't remember what happened.
Well, that's about the little bird that's trying to peck his way for some food, and he's getting overwhelmed by the waves. And
I saw that, but I don't remember.
It's pretty cute.
All right.
Yeah. I think that's the wise man's choice. You know, yeah. It could be the office pool.
All right, so we think Piper. All right, let's move on. Original score, Jackie, La La Land, Lion, Moonlight, Passengers. I think Jackie definitely deserves it. That's such an unusual score
for a mainstream
film. Although they'll probably give it to La La Land.
I believe it will be La La Land.
I think Justin Hurwitz is going to win, although Jackie's a close second.
All right, let's move on. Makeup and hairstyling. A man called Oof. Star Trek Beyond and Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad.
Oh, well,
cow.
It's,
I don't know what they're going to give it to.
I think
care.
It's Star Trek Beyond. Plus,
so.
It's got all those wacky aliens in it.
But there's a Star Trek movie every couple of years.
Yeah, but it's really entertaining. And the work, I think, is very detailed.
All right, let's move on to film editing. Arrival, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, La La Land, Moonlight. Oh, this is a shoe-in for Hacksaw Ridge.
And I think it's La La Land again.
What?
I agree with you, Tom. I think it's going to be Hacksaw Ridge for editing. I think that's what they'll give it to.
All right, let's move along. Jim thinks it's La La Land, and I think it's Hacksaw Ridge. Did we just have that argument a couple of categories ago?
I think so.
Costume design, Allied, Fantastic Beasts, and I never saw Fantastic Beasts. Foster Jenkins, Jackie, and La La Land. Oh, this is kind of a tough one. I don't think La La Land's going to win any costume design.
No.
Here, I will agree with you.
I
think it'll be Jackie.
I do, too. I think Jackie's going to win.
Yeah, of all these, I would give it to Jackie. Huh. Interesting.
Although I love the costuming in Allied. It's wonderful.
Yeah,
it is.
But I don't think anybody saw it. Yeah, and I think Jackie is recreating an era more familiar to everyone. So.
Yeah. All right, let's move along. Production design, Arrival, Fantastic Beasts. Hail Caesar. I'm glad that got nominated for something, because that was a good movie. La La Land and Passengers. Passengers. Holy cow.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Well,
this is
a tough one.
I think it's going to be Fantastic Beasts.
I don't know.
I think you're right, Lynn. You know, of those five, it's the most spectacular. I remember they're recreating the 1920s, but sort of a skewed 20s with the influence of magic and all that. And I think it's got some nice. It's got a nice look to it.
I didn't see that. So
it won
maybe
the BAFTA. It won the BAFTA.
Yeah. Although Hail Caesar looks gorgeous. Too.
It is. Yeah. Oh, and all the movie sets. Yes.
All right.
Yes,
definitely.
All right. I think it's going to be La La Land.
For production design, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cinematography, Arrival, La La Land, Lion, Moonlight, Silence. I think it'll be La La Land. Only because Hacksaw Ridge isn't nominated.
Yes, I think this could go to Moonlight, actually. I think Moonlight is just a lovely film with the way that they use light in it and the sun, especially that scene where they're teaching the boy to swim. It's a gorgeous looking film.
It is beautiful.
What do you think is going to win cinematography, Lynn?
I think it's La La Land because of the CinemaScope. It's so luxurious. It's so beautiful.
All right, so...
Well, they're going to want to give something to Moonlight, so I think this could be the one. So.
Yeah, it could be. Our screen.
All right, original song, Audition from something. From La La Land.
Yes.
Can't Stop the Feeling from Trolls?
Oh, Justin Timberlake.
City of Stars from La La Land. Yes. The Empty Chair from the James Foley story.
Yes, by Sting.
And How Far I'll Go from Moana. Well, this is going to be one of these songs from La La Land, but I don't know which one.
I would love it to be Audition, but I think it'll probably be City of Stars.
Yeah, that seems to be the kind of the one that...
But Audition,
what do you think it's going to be later?
I do agree with it's going to be La La Land. I would like to see Audition, but I think it's probably, like you said, City of Stars. However, Lin-Manuel Miranda could be the spoiler here for the Moana song, because he seems to win everything. But Justin Timberlake wrote that very catchy Can't Stop the Feeling, and people love him.
Yeah, but that's not my favorite song from Moana. I love You're Welcome.
The song
that The Rock sings is great.
So. Yes, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe who sings How Far I'll Go in Moana?
That is Moana herself sings that.
It's a ballad. It's a female empowerment
song. Do they still have
song.
All five songs performed at the Oscar ceremony?
Well, they
seems like last year they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't. But they've said that Ryan and Emma aren't going to do the songs from La La Land. But I did hear that John Legend might be performing them. So that's the rumor. So
Say. Let's move on. A documentary short, Do We Care? Extremist, 4.1 Miles, Joe's Violin. Wantani, My Homeland, and the White Helmets. I've seen none of these. Anybody seen any of these?
Not seen one of them.
No, the money is on Joe's violin.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, good luck to Joe and his violin. Let's move on. Documentary feature, Fire at Sea, I Am Not Your Negro, Life Animated, O.J. Made in America in the 13th. I think it's going to be I Am Not Your Negro.
I would love to see Life Animated get it, but I think it's going to be either that film, I Am Not Your Negro, or... The 13th.
I think the 13th, although the OJ one, this is the thing about the OJ one, it's an 8-hour documentary, and it was only shown in theaters to qualify for the Oscars, and now it's, you know, the favorite to win, but, you know, it was a TV yes, it's an 8-hour documentary. Jeez. I don't know how you can compete with that, but Ava DuVernay made 13th, and
She was robbed of an Oscar nomination because of racism.
Yes, and so now this might be her her turn to shine.
That's her consolation.
Although I Am Not Your Negro is very, very good.
13th is a pretty lousy documentary. I had to suffer through that thing.
Actually, I think Wiener is fabulous.
I would rather see Wiener in there. I'd love to have seen De Palma in there, Tower in there. That's
the Tower, and Eagle Huntress is really good. Category.
Yeah, what the hell are they thinking? All right, let's move along. Animated feature, Kubo and the Two Strings, Moana, My Life is a Zucchini, Red Turtle, and Zootopia. I think they're going to go on, I think they're going to think outside the box and give it to Kubo.
Well, that did get the BAFTA award, but I think it's Zootopia all the way on this one. Yeah. I think it's a slam dunk for them.
I do too. Zootopia is fabulous in terms of clever and wit and the message, and then also how well done it is.
The Studios has been getting a lot of acclaim, and I think they're going to want to reward it. So I'm going to stick with my choice of Kubo and the Two Strings. You guys disagree, but that's okay. Let's move on.
If the script was stronger to Kubo, I would say. Yes.
Okay, we still got a lot to cover, so let's speed this up a little bit. Foreign language film, Land of Mine, A Man Called Oof, The Salesman, Tana, Tony Erdman. I haven't seen any of these.
I've seen two of them.
How many have you seen, Lynn?
Three.
Lynn's seen three. Which one do you think is going to win, Lynn?
I think it's going to be The Salesman because it's from Iran, and the director is not going to come to the Oscars. And also, Tony Erdman, I know, is universally acclaimed, and I just think it's almost 3 hours, and I am not the biggest fan of this movie, but smart money's on that one.
Okay, what do you think is going to win, Joe?
I'm a big fan of A Man Called Uwe.
Okay.
Yes.
I think that's a terrific
little
film.
You think that's going to win, though?
I doubt it.
These are our predictions, not our personal choices.
I think it will be The Salesman, and I would love to see Man Called Uwe sneaking in.
All right, let's move along. Adapted screenplay, Arrival, Fences, Hidden Figures, Lion, Moonlight. Boy. I think they're going to give this to Hidden Figures because it's doing so well and it's really beloved and they're going to want to give it something.
They moved Moonlight to this category because it's based on an unpublished play. And in all the other award shows, it's been an original. But I think it's going to be Moonlight because it's an adapted.
I think you're right, Lynn. I would say they want to show Moonlight some love. If it doesn't get cinematography, it'll definitely get
this. They're going to want to give Hidden Figures some love. And I think that's the only category I see that possibly winning.
Yeah, but I don't think the script is that good. Really.
This is the Oscars. This isn't about quality.
Well, yeah, sometimes.
All right, let's move along. Original screenplay: Hell or High Water, La La Land, The Lobster, Manchester by the Sea, and 20th Century Women. I hated that movie. I think they're going to give this to Manchester by the Sea.
I would love to see that get it, even though La La Land's in that category.
Yeah, La La Land is not the strength is not in its script.
I think it's a pretty
especially
good
the
script.
Second or third time you watch it.
Oh, I've seen it about 8 times and it holds up magnificently. Mm. But Manchester by the Sea has a really terrific script. But I love the script to Hell or High Water too. So
between the
two of those, but I think Manchester. Manchester will get the edge over that.
I think this is the category that La La Land's the most vulnerable in. Yeah. And I would like to see Manchester by the Sea get something.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, let's move along then. Sporting actor Maharishi Ali for Moonlight, Jeff Bridges, Hell or High Water, Lucas Hedges, Manchester by the Sea. Dev Patel, Lion, Michael Shannon, Nocturnal Animals. I think they're going to give it to Jeff Bridges, although I wouldn't count out this young Lucas Hedges fellow. He has a lot of really big emotional scenes in Manchester by the Sea. What do you think, Lynn?
I think it's going to be Mahershala Ali just for the swimming scene alone.
But it's odd, Lynn, that he's not up for Independent Spirit Award for that. That's very strange.
It is very weird.
I would love to see Mahershala Ali get it. I would say he's going to get it.
Okay, I still think it's going to be Jeff Bridges. Let's move on. Supporting actors Viola Davis, Fences, Naomi Harris, Moonlight, Nicole Kidman, Lion, Octavia Spencer, Hidden Figures, and Michelle Williams, Manchester by the Three. There are three black gals in the supporting actress category.
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
This is a record.
Australian. I think they're going to give it to Miss Viola Davis, even though she was terrible in Suicide Squad. She has more than made up for it with her terrific performance in Fences.
And even though she's the lead in this, too.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. She probably has more lines than some of the lead actresses. But
two of them together, probably.
They moved it to the supporting, so she would be a shoe-in.
Yeah. I don't see any of these other people, except maybe Michelle Williams even in challenging her.
She's wonderful. She's more of a supporting role than Viola Davis is.
Yeah, I think you're right, Tom, about that.
All right, let's move along. We've still got a little time. Actor Casey Affleck, Andrew Garfield, Ryan Gosling, Viggo Mortensen, and Denzel Washington. I think Andrew Garfield's got this in the bag.
I think you're very wrong about that.
What?
But because if you'd asked me 2-3 months ago, I would say Casey Affleck has it in the bag. But all this stuff about this 2007 sexual harassment suit has come out. And even though it was resolved and settled, it's kind of like what happened with the Birth of a Nation director, Nate Parker. It's come to surface, and I think it's going to hurt him. And I think that Denzel could come in and get it,
Denzel
got the Screen Actors Guild Award a few weeks ago. So the tide has turned, I think, unfortunately, against Casey because of this past stuff, which should have been in the past, but unfortunately, that's not the case today.
Yeah, but Andrew Garfield also did Silence, which he got a lot of acclaim for, and I think that'll weigh in his favor.
The Screen Actors Guild usually predicts 90% of the best actors, and so it could go to Denzel. But I agree with Tom. I don't think it's really hard to get that third one, and I just don't think it's a third, but people seem to disagree with me. I think Casey Affleck should win.
Yes.
I think there's a wild card here with Viggo.
No.
Viggo's good
in that film, but that's such an awful movie.
His win is the nomination for this film. Definitely. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Actress Isabelle Huppert, Ruth Negga. That's for L. Ruth Negga for Loving, Natalie Portman for Jackie, Emma Stone and La La Land, Meryl Streep, Florence Foster, Jenkins. This is an interesting category. I would have said Natalie Portman was strong, but I don't hear anybody talking about Jackie. I think Emma Stone's going to ride the La La Land wave.
I think this is it. Yeah, I think her getting that Screen Actors Guild Award a couple of weeks ago signaled that the tide has turned. It wasn't a two-woman race between Isabelle and Natalie. I think it's Emma.
Yes, it's very hard for a foreign actress to win, although Isabelle, this is
her
first
one. They like giving it to foreign actresses.
But they also like giving it to young actresses. Like, look at J-Law a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So I do think it's going to be Emma, although I would like to see Natalie Portman.
Yes.
All right. So we think it's going to be Emma Stone.
Oh, yeah.
Or I wouldn't count out Isabelle Huppert, though.
No,
but
no.
We'll see next Sunday. Director, Arrival, Denis Villeneuve. Hacksaw Ridge, Mel Gibson. La La Land, Damien Chazelle. Manchester by the Sea, Kenneth Loner again. He shouldn't be up for director. That's my opinion. Moonlight, Barry Jenkins. Yeah, Manchester by the Sea, the strength is in its script. It's not going to win Best Director. I think Mad Mel is going to pull an upset.
And once again, Tom, in the real world, it's going to be Damien Chazelle.
Come on, what do you think, Lynn?
He won the DGA the other day, so he's got it.
They love him, and he's a visionary, and it's so innovative, but it also honors the past.
Yeah.
So I think it's Damien Chazelle.
All right. So let's move over to the final category. And there's 9 movies nominated for Best Picture this year. Arrival, yeah. Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight. Only one of these movies was even in my top 10 of the year. I really don't care less. I care less about the Best Picture this year. Oh, I think Hacksaw Ridge is going to pull an upset for the sweep. I'm giving it to Hacksaw Ridge. What do you think, Lynn?
I think the way the Oscar ballots are, that it's La La Land is, although I think the spoiler could be Moonlight, but I think La La Land, the way the voting is.
Well, there is a backlash against La La Land, but hopefully people voted early enough for Best Picture.
Was there a backlash against La La Land?
There is. There's a lot of people saying, oh, it's not that good. You know, the songs aren't that good. They aren't good singers and dancers. It's nothing like Singing in the Rain. There's a lot of, you know, there was a whole skit on SNL about the backlash to La La Land, but I'm not going to listen to them. I think it's, you know, my favorite film of the year. It's La La Land. I've been saying it.
I haven't seen Hidden Figures, so I shouldn't.
Well, there's also a backlash because he's a white jazz musician.
But there are African Americans. So there's no black people, and I think John Legend is black.
John Legend is in it.
Last time I checked,
I just think it's just a very fresh modern musical, yeah. And it makes Hollywood look dreamy.
Right.
Yeah, even though it's frustrating, though, that the stuff about auditions is brutal, but it's still pretty great.
All right, well, we've got to wrap up the show. So join us next Sunday night, the 26th, at the Tivoli Theater, and we're going to be there partying and handing out prizes and talking about the Oscars, et cetera, et cetera. We've got to wrap up the show, though. I'm Tom Stockman.
Jim Batts.
Lynn Venhouse.
Join us again next week, and we'll review some more movies and talk about the Oscar ceremony itself.
You're happy in your work, Johnny.
By the lift, quick march.